So Psalm chapter 1, we're continuing in our summer in the Psalms. And let me just say, last week, Psalm 139, Mark Harriman did a phenomenal job, did he not? Wow. Whew. I was watching in North Carolina and just could not believe. I can believe, right? Because it was a testimony of the goodness of God in Mark's life. Amen. And so if you missed last Sunday, you missed it. And make sure that you go back and listen. It was an awesome, awesome day. Psalm chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 1 through 6, the whole psalm this morning, unpack it, and then towards the end, we're going to flip over to John 14. Is that okay? Good, because I got the mic and you didn't really have a choice. I missed y'all so much. Missed y'all so much. Can you hear the southern? It kind of came back a little bit this past week. I had sweet tea one time, and if the Lord had taken me right then, I was ready. I was ready. It was so good. Anyway, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. God, as we look at these two roads, as we look at this psalm, God, I pray that you would make yourself clear to us and known to us. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. I once heard somebody say many years ago that Psalm chapter 1 is the door to the entire book of Psalms, okay? That Psalm chapter 1 is this psalm that we just read. It's the door to the entire book of Psalms. And I would even venture to say that it's really six verses of a look at the entire Old Testament. Right? I say this often around here, that if we were to take a class, Old Testament survey together, one of the things that we would learn really early on is that the entire theme of the Old Testament is blessings for obedience, blessings for righteousness, cursings for disobedience. And we see that spelled out in this psalm. And again, the door to the entire book of Psalms, and potentially the door to the entire Old Testament. The first word of Psalm chapter 1 is what? Blessed. Which, if you remember, we just talked about the Beatitudes. It's also the way that Jesus began his first recorded sermon in Matthew chapter 5. We call it these biblical blessed are statements, the Beatitudes. And there's 82 of them in the Bible. And that's important because what we see there is that God specializes in blessing us. God specializes in blessing us. Look at your neighbor and say, God wants to bless you this morning. God wants to bless you this morning. I believe that. I believe that. The word blessed is like a golden sphere around us, so to speak, in which are poured all of God's infinite grace, his gifts, his goodness. And this atmosphere, this is the atmosphere of his Christ followers. It's the climate of our souls, right? And so packed into blessed is the kind of life described in Psalm 23. When Jesus, when we talk about the protection of God, and then in John 10:10, when Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly, right? That you may have it more abundantly. And so in Psalm chapter 1, we see a few things. I want to point them out to you. And the first thing we see in Psalm chapter 1 is our separation. Our separation, right? That we're separated from God. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, right? I mentioned separates us from God, but it separates us from the world, right? That the righteous should be separate. Right, that we should be set apart. That the world should be able to look at us and say, wow, there's something different about you. There's a different way about you, right? Blessed is the one who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of scoffers. There should be a different demeanor of us, right? In other words, we're to separate ourselves and live a separate life. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says this, "Come out from among them and be separate," says the Lord. Be separate, says the Lord. Right? I once heard somebody say that they have a few Jesus followers where they live, and most of the people around them are not Christians. And can I not be their friend? Do I have to keep them at arm's length? And you can recognize, and you could kind of hear that the thought quite troubled this person. But here's the answer, right? We should never keep our distance fully from the Lord, but we have to make sure that we keep pursuing Jesus in the midst of walking in the world. Does that make sense? Okay, I'm gonna do this illustration. I've done this illustration before, and some of you may remember it. But is Scott in the room? Scott, come here. You're perfect for this illustration. I wasn't planning on doing this, but I think this is awesome. Okay. Now, Scott, I'm gonna stand up in this chair. Okay? I'm gonna stand up in this chair because I was short. You should have stood up in the chair. We might have been the same height. Now, Scott, here's what I want you to do. Okay? I want you to pull me off this chair. Okay? How hard was that?
Not very hard.
Not very hard. Now, you hop up in that chair. Okay? Now, here's what I want you to do, Scott. I want you to pick me up into that chair with you. You're not even going to try? Oh, he's going to try. Oh, man. Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Let's see. All right. You're a little taller. Okay. Awesome. Now, you can go back to your seat, right? The point of the illustration is this, right? It's much easier to pull somebody down than it is to pick somebody up. Right? It's so much easier to pull somebody down than it is to pick somebody up. And that's why the psalmist says, listen, we've got to be on guard. Right? Not that we distance ourselves or separate ourselves completely from the world, because Jesus commissions us to go into the world. He says in Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations of the world. Jesus sends us and commissions us into the world. But here's the concern for the believer, right? Is we've got to have time in our lives. I believe this is Sunday morning for every believer, right? Where people pick us back up, right? Where people pick us back up. We've been pulled down all week. People have been pulling us down. Thoughts have been pulling us down. Circumstances have been pulling us down. Situations have been pulling us down. But then we come around a place where we get picked back up a little bit. Every believer needs that. Right? Every believer needs that. And so there's a separation for the life of the believer. Right? There's a separation for the life of the believer. And there's a few steps that are critical to us when it comes to separation. The first is our allegiance. Right? Who are we loyal to? Right? Who are we loyal to? Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow who? Him. Deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Him. That makes us different from everyone else. Deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. Right? Secondly, we should be separate from the world in our attitudes. In our attitudes. Right? And we see in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Right? Those are the things that we should display to the world around us. Not loud and angry and all of these different things, but love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then lastly, we should be separate in our actions. the things that we do, the way that we treat people, all of these different things, because the New Testament letters were written for a purpose. The apostles had gone through the land preaching the gospel, but the new believers didn't know how to live as followers of Jesus. They had grown up in a pagan culture, and so Paul and Peter and James and John and the others wrote letters to them, teaching them, telling them how they should live, how they should separate themselves from the world. And so we see here in Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the one who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sin, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but is separated. Look at verse 2. But their delight, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So we don't only look at our separation, we look at our meditation. Right? We look at our meditation. Verse 1 begins with the wonderful word blessed and immediately tells us how we're called to be separated. But verse 2 tells us about the things that we focus on, the things that we set our minds on. It says, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on this law every day and every night. Here's the thing. If you want to be blessed, right? If you want to be blessed, I sound like one of those TV commercials, right? You want to be blessed, pay $19.99. 20 easy payments of $19.99. You'll be blessed, and I will send you this holy water from Sebago Lake. Right? No, but hear me. Hear me. We see in God's word that if we want to be blessed, guess what? We have to spend time in the book that talks about the God of the universe that is full of blessing. We've got to delight ourselves in it. We've got to meditate on the scriptures and what it says day and night. David wrote Psalm 1, no doubt after thinking about Joshua 1:8, where Joshua 1:8 says this, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then," he says, "you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success." Let's have a debate real quick, okay? This will be fun. This will be fun. I love sowing discord, right? As if we need help with that today in 2024, amen? Okay, so I'm gonna throw out three names, okay? I want to throw out three names. And if I throw out the name that you just can't live without, I want you to raise your hand. Is that okay? All right, let's start. Let's start this way. Dunkin' Donuts. Anybody just can't live? Okay, I see one hand, two hand, three hand. Okay, Dunkin' Donuts. Okay, all right. I thank you for your honesty. A lot of people sitting in here being disobedient, and they didn't raise their hand. Some of y'all couldn't come to church this morning without going through the Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru line, but you didn't just raise your hand. We gotta talk. Okay? So we got some Dunkin' Donuts people. Okay? Who would say Starbucks? Anybody? Okay, thank you. I know there's one. I'll raise my hand for that one. I'll raise my hand for that one. Some people are like, Starbucks, that's not real coffee. It wakes me up. Okay, so we got some Starbucks people. Okay, Starbucks people. Like, let's just talk for a second. I think I got at least one Starbucks person right here. Let's just talk for a second, right? What would we say to those Dunkin' people? Right? Yeah, you're just shaking your head. You're just like, it makes no sense, right? It just doesn't make sense, right? Just Dunkin' people, what would you say to us Starbucks people? Come on, Dan. Gross. You see the discord here? Isn't this awesome? Isn't this awesome? All right? Do we have any? I'm looking at a section of the room right now that I think their hands are about to just pop up. What about Aroma Joe's? Oh yes. See, I knew these young people right here, right? I knew these young people would just, okay, all right, we got some older folks in the back. Hallelujah. Right? Aroma Joe's, right? And so here's the thing. Here's the thing. Okay. We obviously have differing opinions on which is the best, right? Us Starbucks people and Dunkin' people think of you Aroma Joe's people and think, that's cute. right? It's cute. It's cute. Now, see, I've got something that I could get at all three, because in our family, we have some that got to have their aromas. We got some that got to have their Dunkin'. We got some that got to have their Starbucks, right? And so we're taking out loans and all this stuff to pay for our coffee and all that. In fact, you know, let me ask you one more thing. How many of you would say, neither of the three, they're all gross, I'm making my coffee at home? Okay, look at your hands. Liars. I know all y'all just bought something this past week from Dunkin'. I understand. Wow. Wow. Okay, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. Okay? Here's what I want you to do. I've sowed this discord. Y'all know that, right? I've created this to prove this point, and I pray this works. Because some of y'all are really upset right now and disappointed, or just confused and thinking, where in the world is he going with this? Okay. Show me from Scripture the best coffee place. Some of y'all are like, Hebrews. I've heard it. Some of y'all are like, Hebrews, right? Hebrews. Wow. I'm so proud and not at the same time. My point is this, right? Many of us, I'm using coffee, right? Many of us get so worked up, so bent out of shape, so frustrated, so angry, so disappointed, so sad about things that are causing discord in our culture, in the world around us, that have nothing to do with Scripture. That have nothing to do. In fact, I was just having a conversation with someone the other day about this, right? And they're so concerned about something. They're so worried about something. And I was thinking to myself, what does the Bible say about this? So I asked them, I said, what does the Bible say about this? And they said, without giving away the situation, they said, well, ultimately, God's in control. I said, exactly. So does it really matter what happens at the end of the day, knowing that God has got this and that he's in control and he's going to have his way at the end of the day, no matter what? And they were like, well, I guess not. And so, when we think about that, right? Many of us are concerning ourselves. And listen, when I say it's great to have hobbies, it's great to have things that we think on and that we meditate, right? That take our minds right off of the weights that we're carrying, right? It's great to have hobbies and things like that distract our mind from things from time to time. But here's the reality, right? If we're worrying ourselves and stressing ourselves and concerning ourselves over so many things that are not the law of the Lord, that we are called to meditate on day and night. If there's something and that someone in your life is doing that's concerning you so much, or they're liking something so much, but it has nothing to do with the Scriptures, I would ask you simply this. Why is it bothering you so bad? See, we talk about this all the time, right? It's okay to disagree. But let's disagree with our Bibles open. And so we can disagree on which coffee institution is the best. Right? Some people are like, Starbucks is demonic. I don't care. The sweet cream vanilla cold brew is godly. Show me in Scripture, right? We're concerning ourselves with things that are taking our eyes off of where they should be. That makes sense? Keep our eyes in this Word, right? Keep our eyes in this Word, because here's what I know about anything. Here's what I know about anything and everything, right? Man, us, we can take anything that God meant for good and turn it bad. Anybody can do that, right? Anybody can take something that God intended for good, right? I mean, the Patriots and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, God took Robert Kraft and ruined the whole thing. What God intended for good, right? That's heresy. Okay, anyway, right? But you get the point. Our meditation, our hearts, our minds are intended to be on the law of the Lord. And get this, on this law, meditates day and night. Do you consider the scriptures in relation to your everyday life? What do the scriptures say about the thing that you are just in turmoil over? Are you meditating on the law of the Lord day and night? Set your minds there. Number three, our growth. God's not only concerned about our separation and making sure that we're being built up into the body of Christ, our meditation, that we're setting our minds on the things of Him. But number three, God's concerned with our growth. God's concerned with your growth. God's concerned with your growth. Look at the person next to you and say, God wants you to grow up. We don't like to think about this very often, right? We don't like to think about this very often, but the Bible actually says a lot. We mentioned Peter, James, and John, right? Their writings in the New Testament. The Bible says a lot about our maturity in the things of God, that are growing up. And here, right in Psalm 1, we see it. They're like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. I love that. I love the picture of that. Can you picture a tree, right, by a stream of water, yielding its fruit in season, does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. In all that he does, he prospers. According to the book of Colossians, Paul says that we're to be rooted and grounded in who? Christ. Christ Jesus. According to Jesus, the rivers of the Holy Spirit should be flowing within us, flowing through us. That happens as we cultivate this habit of continual meditation on the things of God. Notice these things build on each other, right? This is a recurring theme throughout the Bible, as I mentioned, this idea of maturity. Jeremiah 17 says, blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like trees planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Never fails to bear fruit, right? So picture this, right? I'll never forget when Kristen and I went to Israel. We got off a bus one day, and we go to this beautiful place, right? And there's this river that's this stream that's flowing right next to this garden. There's these beautiful, lush trees all around, and we're sitting there, and the tour guide says to us as he's speaking, he goes to the psalm where it says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. And he actually said that this is where David recorded and penned that sermon. So can you imagine David sitting under a tree, sitting in the shade, kind of leaning against it, penning and writing, as the deer pants for water. Maybe a deer walked up and drinking water. As the deer pants for water, so my soul longs for you. So my soul longs for you. And so I just imagine here in Psalm chapter 1, right, that he's thinking about how we are to be separated. We are to be separated. We're not to conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we are to meditate on the things of God, and then looking up, glancing up, and seeing this tree planted by a stream of water that yields its fruit in season. Leaf doesn't wither. Right? So if we separate from the world, if we meditate on the word, whatever we do, will prosper. That is, we will joyfully fulfill the plan that God has laid out for us. We will fulfill it successfully in His eyes, not according to our measurement of success, but in His eyes, joyfully, productively, and by His grace. And guess what happens? We'll mature. We will mature. We're not people who think in terms of failure. We may not always see all the visible success, but the same God who knows how to turn curses into blessings also turns blessings into benefits that compound from here to eternity for His glory. For His glory. Think about that for just a moment. Right? That everything you do is for His glory. For His glory. I didn't know how to take this past week. It was Thursday at lunch, and we're all going around. We're in North Carolina. We're all going around and saying goodbyes. We're trying to leave within the hour, and this lady walked up to me, and she's been coming. She's been listening to me preach down there in North Carolina for years and years and years, years and years and years, right? And I leaned down to give her a hug, and she kind of got emotional, and I'm like, man, okay, thank you, God. Like, you used the messages this week to touch her, right? To just bless her. And she hugs me, and she whispers in my ear as she's saying goodbye to me. She's like, I'm so thankful that you've grown up. I didn't know how to take that. And so the whole drive home, as I'm driving through a hurricane and tornadoes, I'm thinking, what did she mean by this, right? I'm meditating on this word. So thankful that you've grown up, right? And what I believe she meant by that, right, is that she, over the years, has seen growth in me, right? How many of you know we need that from each other, right? You're not the same today as when we met you, and when you walked in these doors. You may have heard me pray this from time to time, because it's something we often pray around here, is our prayer is that you don't walk out of these doors the same way you walked in, that there's a growth in you, that there's a maturity in you that I believe, we believe, can happen in this hour plus in this room, that God wants you to grow up in Him. Mature in Him as you do things for Him, with Him, around here. And so we see that in the book of Psalm. Next, our destination. Our destination. Look at your neighbor one more time and say, where are you going? Don't answer. You're probably thinking, well, I'm thinking this place for lunch. I'm thinking, you know, right? The psalmist is thinking about eternity. He says in verse 4, the wicked are not so. What do you mean not so, right? They're not meditating on the law of the Lord day and night, right? They're not growing like a tree planted by a stream of water that yields its fruit in season. Leaf does not wither, and all that he does prospers. It says the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Speaking of eternity, the last three verses in this psalm describe our destination. They describe our destination. Again, the psalmist says, not so the wicked. Right? See, most of us, probably, looking around the room, okay, most of us are not farmers, right? We don't know much about chaff necessarily, but think about these little bits of straw caught in wind, right? Now picture a huge cherry tree planted by a well-irrigated zone by a river. A stiff breeze blows the stray piece of straw to oblivion, but the tree simply sways gracefully in the wind. That represents the difference between following and pursuing Jesus and those who are without Christ. James talks about it in James chapter 1. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let them ask of God. But when you ask, ask in faith, not doubting, like the wind and the waves, being tossed to and fro by the wind and the waves, right? See what James is getting at here, the half-brother of Jesus, what he's getting at here is that if you're going to ask of God, right, be confident, be sure, feet planted, right? Don't doubt. Don't toss to and fro. Be firm. Be planted. And that's the picture that the psalmist gives us here, right? That the chaff is just blown around, all around, and the tree is sure, just swaying, planted. And so I want you to look inward. Think about yourself for a moment. Are you like the chaff? Are you like the tree? God's desire is that his followers would be planted like a tree, firm and sure, not tossed to and fro by the circumstances, the situations of this world, but confident in him. Now, hear me for just a moment. That doesn't mean that we don't doubt. It doesn't mean that we're not frustrated from time to time. We're human, right? We're human. But the pursuit of our soul is planted like a tree by the river, confident, not in their own strength, but in him. In him. Not blown all around by the wind and the waves, but sure, sure, feet planted. And again, it represents the difference of following and pursuing Jesus and those without Christ. No matter how rich, how powerful, how successful, arrogant they are, I sometimes wonder if Jesus modeled his Sermon on the Mount after Psalm 1. Blessed are those. Blessed, blessed. And we see it here. Blessed is the one. Because they both begin with the same word, blessed. They both go on to describe the life of a believer. And they both end by contrasting two roads leading to different locations. See, here in Psalm 1, we're told that God watches over the way of the righteous, but those on the highway of the wicked will perish. And so again, which road are you on? In John 14, Jesus is talking to his disciples. You don't have to turn there necessarily, but just listen to the story. As Jesus is talking, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Verse 4, I love this. And you know the way to where I'm going. Now, Thomas nicknamed who? The doubter, doubting Thomas, right? Thomas said to him in verse 5 of John chapter 14, Lord, we don't know where you're going. Couldn't comprehend it, right? Couldn't comprehend it. How many of you know that God's called you to something, you can't quite comprehend it, but you just know that you're supposed to do it, right? Lord, we don't know to where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. You skip down to verse 15. It sounds a lot like Psalm 1. Jesus continues, if you loved me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, Jesus referencing the Holy Spirit, who's going to come when he ascends into heaven to be with you forever. Verse 17, John 14. even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And then get this. What a promise from Jesus that we have right here in Scripture. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Now, sometimes pursuing and following Jesus can feel like a lonely place. It can feel very confusing. It can feel very desperate from time to time, right? Pursuing the things of God and not being conformed any longer to the patterns of this world because those things are right in front of us. And sometimes it can feel like God is so far off. But to live for Jesus means to walk in the confidence of his track record. To trust him. To trust that no matter how things look in front of me, this is the way he's called me to live. Separate. Meditating on his law day and night. Maturing in the things of God. Knowing that one day when he calls me home, whenever that day is, my destination is heaven. To be with him forever. He tells his disciples, he tells Thomas, listen, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And some people think differently about that place, right? Some people think it's a mansion where you're going to have all these different things. And some people think there's going to be Dunkin' Donuts. Some people think there's going to be Starbucks. Some people think there's going to be Aroma. Some people think there's not going to be any of that mess, but you're going to be able to make your own coffee, right? We have no idea. But nonetheless, Jesus looks at his disciples and says, listen, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life to this place that I'm going to prepare for you. Are you living for me? And so my question for you this morning, as the worship team is going to come, is this: who are you living for? Which road are you on? Which path are you taking? See, when we look around and we think to ourselves, wow, I had this thought a lot this past week. There was a t-shirt. I'll tell it to you this way. Last weekend, we went to Walmart to get some things for the week, right? And, you know, Walmart's got everything, right? And they had t-shirts, North Carolina t-shirts that were there. The kids saw one of these t-shirts and they're like, Daddy, this is your color. It's big enough, which is not insulting at all, right? Try it on. I didn't look at what the front said. Okay, I'll try it on. Tried it on. And they were right. I mean, it fit perfect. It was awesome. And then I read the front. And it was the state of North Carolina outlined, and it said, North Carolina is my happy place. I was like, I can't buy this shirt. They were like, Daddy, it's $5.99. Like, this is the cheapest souvenir you can get. I was like, I know, but it's a lie. Like, I'm not going to wear a t-shirt that is a lie. But Daddy, don't think about that. The colors are perfect, and it fits. And I'm like, I know, but I can't wear it. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, I don't belong here. This isn't my happy place. I mean, if it said Summit Church, yeah, is my happy place, I'd wear that thing. If it said Starbucks is my happy place, I'd wear that thing. But I can't wear the thing because at the end of the day, I don't belong here. See, some of y'all are trying way too hard to fit in where you're at. I pray this morning encourages you from Psalm 1. Maybe you're not fitting in because you don't belong here. This is not your home. Heaven is your home. Meditate on His law day and night. Grow up and mature in the things of Him like a tree planted by water, knowing with confidence and trust that Jesus is preparing a place for you to be with Him forever in eternity. Last time, who are you living for? Some of us live for ourselves. Some of us live to work. Some of us live for our families. Some of us live, and all these things are good. All these things are well-intentioned. Can I encourage you today? Live everything. Live your life for Jesus. Pursue Him. Chase after Him. Chase after Him. Can I pray for you? God, this morning, thank you. Thank you for your grace for us. Thank you for your love for us, that while we were yet sinners, you sent Jesus to die on our behalf, that we could have life, that we could be with you forever. And so, God, I pray that we would find our hope, our contentment, our joy, and our peace, not in the things that are happening around us, but in you. Help us to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Will you stand with me and sing?